We have been talking about biblical financial management, you remember. We established a few points when we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, from verse 8. He said, let me read from verse 10. He said, now he will supply seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now, we established from that what God was saying in effect is that this is the principle behind financial management. And that is that every money that God gives to you, there are two portions in it, basically speaking. There is a seed for the sower and there is bread for food. We have established that bread for food, which we'll talk about again briefly today, are those things that you do that has to do with your own personal sustenance. You pay your house rent, you pay if you are building a house for yourself, or you... of course, you pay your children's school fees, you buy clothes for yourself, everything you do to sustain yourself, you buy yourself a car, anything. That's what the Bible calls bread for food. But that there is what is called seed for the sower. And I said there are two types of seed. First of all, there is a spiritual seed, and then we'll talk about a physical seed today. There are two types of seed. Notice that there is a spiritual seed, and there is a physical seed. And the spiritual seed, we said, is what a man uses, like Jesus said, to buy treasure in heaven. We read from the book of Luke where Jesus was speaking about this matter. He was telling his disciples, he says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out, and unfailing treasure in heaven. Notice what he said, that you sell what you have and you give to charity. I said, money... finances that's used charitably is what the Bible says, or is what Jesus implied that you are using to buy treasure in heaven. We said that treasure in heaven, not only, now there are two basic things that treasure in heaven does for you. Number one, it gives you treasure on the earth. Don't forget that. And then it sustains the life of the person that has treasure on the earth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say there? Now, we know that because Jesus spoke about a rich fool, who is said was not rich toward God, all right? But that this man, also in that same Luke chapter 12, there was a man who had plenty, and then he decided to expand his barns to store what he had. He spoke to himself. He says, soul, you have many goods. That's Luke chapter 12. I'm reading verse 19. He said, you have many goods laid up for years to come. Take your ease, eat and drink and be merry. But God said, no, you are a fool for doing this. And Jesus said, so it is. So is the man who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Next line, he said, for this reason I say to you, he was speaking to his disciples, that, you see, it is more important, he was saying, that you acquire treasure in heaven than that you have security for your life on the earth. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I remember during the radio recording earlier today, there was something I said. In fact, as I said it, I said, this is revelation. I explained that, you know, people sometimes say that women should go and have their children abroad so as to give the offsprings a chance, you know. You never can tell. Give him a chance. I said, listen, the Bible says concerning the man that is blessed, that his blessing spreads to his children's children. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is what a child needs. What this little boy needs as security is that he's been so blessed from his father. The more I serve God, the more his future is guaranteed. Are you getting my point? If you like, go and give him a passport or from 15 countries in the world. It has nothing, it cannot guarantee him anything. Even if he ran away from here many years later to go to another country, if he's not blessed, if he gets there, he will still be an unblessed man. I hope you understand what I'm saying. So the same thing Jesus was saying here, that is what is more important is that you have what he called what? Treasure in heaven. He said, because this was a man who had a lot of goods, and the man was putting his faith in what he had. And he said, that is the greatest mistake that you can make. So he warned his disciples. He said, because of the error that this man made, he did not acquire treasure for himself in heaven. He now went and spoke to disciples that they should be careful so that they are not concerned about their life so much that they will forget to be pleasing to God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, a man says, just as an example, there was a day when I was serving, I had a friend. So one day, the guy cooked one very dry, extremely dry pot of stew. I was like, what is wrong with this? He just packed bones inside to use it to give it flavor. I'm not joking. It really happened. So I was looking at him like, what's wrong with your head? But I just made that way last week now. This was when we were serving. Why are you eating like this? Why are you cooking such a miserable amount of... I mean, it was terrible. He said, no, that he doesn't want any trouble. Doesn't want any trouble. That this is all the sustenance he has, so he's keeping the money in case of emergency. He said, I'm talking like this because I'm a doctor, so I have other sources of income. I felt insulted by that. That is, he's my friend, so maybe sometime we'll do things. You know, maybe we'll go somewhere together. Probably we'll just pay for stuff. And I said, oh, so you think I do this because I have so much money that I have nothing to worry about. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? When in reality, what I had learned then was that Jesus had made it clear, he that watches the winds will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. Take no thought for the morrow. That was the way I was living life. But the way he understood it from outside is that, you know, this guy, is apart from being a copper, he's also a doctor. I wasn't being paid quality allowance, for those of you who understand what I'm talking about. But he felt like, occasionally now, patients will tip you, you will do small business by the side. I looked at him, I felt like, God, this guy is pathetic. Now, what am I saying? Even to feed himself properly, because he was afraid. Now, there was no problem. We are sure the allowance will come every month. You understand my point? But the guy just felt that, you see, it's good to have money to buy security for yourself. You know, just keep it there. That's what Jesus said. Do not lay up treasure on the earth. Where how did he say it again? He said that where moths can destroy and where thieves break in and steal. If thieves stole from that young man that time, it would have been a blessing to his life, because that would have been, you know, you learn different lessons. God teaches in different manners. There are times he will just ensure that after you've gathered all the money, the thieves will collect it. Then you won't do it again, if only for the fear of thieves. Are you getting my point? All right, I have friends who don't put any form of security in their house. You know why? They've seen the biggest security systems, and they've seen it fail. That is, one of our former neighbors, he said that he doesn't believe in any form of security. Sorry, excuse me. So he said that, we live in the same place. The guy will just turn his key. You know what they call a flush door? Like this plywood door. He'll just turn his key and leave the house. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Lock this gate. There were burglar proofs so that landlord had installed before we entered the house. The man looked at this and he said, any thief that can break that door, he has tried. He should take what he wants. The guy will go away. I said, why are you like this? He said, listen, that his father has a very good friend in Lagos. That man did everything, including putting closed circuit TV in the house. And the day thieves came to the house, they followed him from outside and said, God, lift, enter the car. Put a gun in his head, and together they entered the house. He opened all the doors for them and all the safes and left. Just since that time, he has realized that if God doesn't protect you, you are not protected. So that's how the guy lived his life. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say, but I'm just trying to get a point across. So that Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, do not worry for your life. Now, don't let me spend all the time saying those things that we said before. Now, at the end of that, having explained to them the reason why they shouldn't be concerned about their security and about their provision, he now said, what you have to do is to sell your possessions, the one you've already kept, he said, and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts which do not wear out. That is, buy for yourself an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. He said, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, I'm going to leave that because we've discussed it extensively in the previous sessions. Now, I said that is one type of seed for the sower. Now, there is a second type which we discussed. Was that last year we discussed spiritual economics, or the year before? Was last year. Yeah, we talked about that one extensively, and I recommend for anybody who wasn't here then to try and get the tapes, or if you are far away, just log on to our website, and the whole thing is there for you to both listen to or download, so you can listen at your own convenience. Now, but I will review a few things in that regard, because it's part of our teaching for today. Open your Bibles, if you have it, to Psalm 126. Now, where we are reading there is from verse 4. I'm going to read from two versions of the Bible to be able to bring out my point clearly. The first one is the New American Standard, which is what I use, except otherwise stated. Is that, restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. It said, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. Let me read the New Living Translation, then I'll pass my comments. It said, restore our fortunes, O Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. He said they weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. There's something I wanted to note here. The way I understand it is that the first verse was a prayer. The second verse was actually an instruction in righteousness, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Now, first verse says, restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. What was he saying? That we have come back from captivity, if you read the previous verses, but the land we have returned to is a dry land. Are you getting my point? That is, the economy is bad, things are not moving well, we do not have the abundance that we so intensely desire. And God now said, this is how we are going to go about it. He said, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. He said, they weep as they go to plant their seed. Now, the reason why they weep, there are two reasons. If you read the King James, it says that they go to and fro bearing the precious seed. That is, they don't have much of it. That's the meaning of the word precious. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That is, they don't have much seed. So the one that they are planting is very, very precious. Now, that's why they weep. The second reason why they weep is because generally things are really, really tight at that time. You understand my point? And there does not appear to be any prospect even for the seed that they are planting. I hope you follow the point I'm trying to make there. Now, but God said, before I can restore your captivity, you must be seen to be planting seed. Now, that's what I want to develop on today and then add a few things to it so that we can conclude this series. Remember, we said there are two kinds of seeds. I need to emphasize that again. There is spiritual seed, which is what buys for you treasure in heaven. I remember I said last time that nobody has any excuse for not buying for himself or herself treasure in heaven. The reason being that Paul said, it is acceptable according to what a man has. Are you getting my point? That is, as far as Jesus was concerned, that widow who put in her last two mites into that treasure basket in the temple had paid more than anybody else in that place. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, so I want to emphasize again that nobody has any excuse for not buying treasure in heaven. Are you getting my point? Now, but having bought treasure in heaven, now, if I may just say this, is it only money that buys you treasure in heaven, physical cash? The answer is no. But I want to say something about money quickly. Remember we said that it appears like that is what God holds as the true expression of a man's character. I hope you understand what I'm going to say. That is, before somebody can say that, it's not only money that buys treasure in heaven. All right, therefore, I will use something else to buy it. Then the person must have no money. Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? That is, if all I have is 500 naira, and that's the salary I'm paid for a whole week of working, it is still money. Are you getting my point? If I say because of that, I cannot use any part of it to buy treasure in heaven. Therefore, I will go and maybe, you know, I'm going to do some charity work around. You understand my point? And say, yes, with that, I have bought treasure. Let me be honest with you. Just remember the story of the widow's mite. And then you will know that that is not an effective price that you have paid. It still has value, but it's very little. I just want to emphasize that. Because there are many things with which one buys treasure in heaven. But the most important of them all is the money that God has supplied. Because he said he supplies seed for the sower. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, there's a reason why I brought that one up. Because from doing many all kinds of works, people buy treasure in heaven. But this is what I want to explain. You have treasure in heaven. Treasure in heaven usually does not sustain physical stomach. You understand my point? It can keep you alive and well. But you have to have treasure on the earth to do things on the earth. Are you getting my point? You cannot go to the man selling a car and say, "Oga, if you know how much God has stored up for me in heaven, you will be begging me to take this car." You know, there was one film I watched long ago. I've forgotten the title of the film. It's a comedy. Two billionaires had a bet that one will not survive 30 days in the slums. So the one that was going to go to the slums, when he arrived there, he went to one run-down, let me use the word, hotel, a place to sleep. So he told the guy, "I am one of the richest men in this country. Just give me a place to sleep for 30 days, and at the end of 30 days, I'll give you $10,000. The man looked at him and said, you are a very rich man, and you can afford $10,000. I understand. But give me $1.75, and I'll give you a place to sleep. You understand what I'm trying to say? Just to complete the joke, the guy said that I'm a very rich man. The man said, in fact, as you are seeing me, so I'm the husband of Queen Elizabeth. So please just give me $1.75. Now, what I'm trying to say is that, remember our proverb or what that we said last week? That you have treasure in heaven is your problem. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's not the other people's problem. Now, what I'm explaining is this. Treasure in heaven must be converted to treasure on the earth. That's what I'm coming to. And then, this is what I want to understand. God said, this is the principle. To activate treasure in heaven, it appears to me that you have to also plant seed on the earth, physical seed. Is what I'm saying making sense? Now, that's where I want to sit on for the rest of the day, actually. It's complementary with what we talked about when we're speaking about spiritual economics. So, God said, those who plant in tears will reap with shouts of joy. He said, they weep as they plant their seed, but they will sing as they return with the harvest. What I want to emphasize is the fact that God wanted to restore their fortunes, but he still laid an emphasis on the fact that they have to plant. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They still have to plant at that time. Now, there's something I want to bring up. Open quickly to Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. New American Standard says, he who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Now, notice something here. I'm going to look at this from two levels. Number one is that, let's take the first one, the sowing. Remember I said that when you are buying treasure in heaven, that is one kind of planting, seed, you understand? And then this has to be converted to treasure on the earth. Now, what he's saying here is this. The man that's buying treasure in heaven, I want to apply this in an interesting fashion, must not say I don't have or things are difficult. Because New Living Translation says that if you are waiting for perfect conditions, you will not get anything done. Do you understand that? Now, we now said that he has to have treasure on the earth. Now, what I'm saying by that is that the treasure he has bought in heaven is a spiritual force that will cause whatever he does on the earth to prosper. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, men that understand, know that it is, like we have read and have understood, that it is not of him that wills, all right, or him that runs, but it's of God that shows mercy. And we have said that God's mercies are not just scattered haphazardly. God has his pattern for distributing his mercy. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? Now, we also said that since this treasure in heaven if a man has treasure in heaven, it gives him treasure on the earth and gives him the ability to enjoy the treasure on the earth. I'm not adding this to it, that the treasure in heaven has to work in a particular place for it to bring forth treasure on the earth. Please try and follow me closely in what I'm saying, all these things I'm saying. Now, what I want to apply here is this. After the man has bought up treasure in heaven without watching the wind, what God is saying again here is this. If he waits for perfect conditions, he will not put his physical seed down. Therefore, the treasure in heaven will not be able to produce anything for him. What God is saying in effect, like he said, when those people prayed, restore our fortunes, is that before your treasure in heaven can birth anything for you on the earth, you must have seed on the earth, physical seed. Now, you understand what I'm trying to say? And that if somebody is watching for perfect conditions, now, okay, I was going to explain that is when you begin to reap your spiritual harvest. What I'm saying, is it making sense to you? And that if you wait for perfect conditions, though God wants to bless you, and you have done all that you are supposed to do in getting treasure in heaven, yet he will not be able to do anything for you on the earth. Are you getting my point? In line with what we are saying, I would recommend really that you listen to all the radio broadcasts we've had, especially in the last 6 weeks. It attacks what I'm saying, especially when I was talking about the principle of faith. That is, God cannot bless you if you are not expecting the blessing at that time. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. That is, there are people who believe very strongly that their blessing is tied to when they finally get a visa. Are you getting my point? Look, I like this expression that Pastor Paul popularized. Something is about to happen. I think you should believe that. Every day you wake up, look at the one before you step out. Say something is about to happen.
No, you really have to believe that. There are people, they believe that a visa is about to come. That's all. And after that, something can happen. So the man wakes up every day. He's not trying to do anything. Now, this is very important because, you see, I'm happy concerning the generation which I'm living, and one in which I grew. I saw people make all kinds of mistakes, and they are still making it. And some are getting corrected. Others are refusing to be corrected. That's why I made that statement. That if you are not expecting God to bless you, he's not likely to. Do you understand what I mean? I don't mean that you must say that I know God is about to give me a car now. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that you recognize that, look, something indeed is about to happen. Like Pastor Paul Adefarasin will say, something, I can't explain it. I can't describe it. I can't tell you about it. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but definitely, oh, something is about to happen. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? What I'm saying this is that sometimes people labor indeed in a manner that pleases God, and God, in quote, owes them. God says, this is blessing, this is abundance I'm about to pour upon you. But the Bible said they tempted God in the wilderness and limited the Holy One of Israel. So when God says, go and open a door for this boy, I want to do something in his life, the guy said, come, we'll see. There is a company about to hire people like you. He said, where's the company? He said, he's in Abakaliki. Forget. Wait, can anything good come out of Abakaliki? He has not even gone to find out whether there is something good for him there. In his brain, if I don't get to America or UK or at least Port Harcourt, Abuja or Lagos, I can never be blessed. So God will be looking like this. Meanwhile, every day, maybe he manages to get a small amount of money. He's giving to charity. He's working, in quotes, for God. He's always doing good things that cause God to owe him. But God can never release those blessings because the guy has refused to activate the release of the blessings. There was a man I read, I think one book I read long ago, Kicked Out of the Kingdom. That's the title of the book, about a Jehovah's Witness who God worked a miracle in their lives, or the life of their, okay, well, their lives, he and his wife. And they had a little child that had a deformed part of the body, and God miraculously healed the child by just a simple prayer from the parents. So they were so excited that indeed God still healed. And then they got kicked out of Jehovah's Witnesses group because it's only the devil that heals. God doesn't heal. They were told. So since the devil had healed their child, they are agents of the devil now. So they kicked them out. So they wrote the book and called it Kicked Out of the Kingdom. Now he said something when he started a particular work, a ministry work. He said there was one brother who God used mightily in supplying people's needs. One day, their cars, they looked at the tires of their cars and it was worn out. They didn't have money. So they were just, I think they were still meditating or praying about it. When this guy drove up with car with four brand new tires, I said that God said you should give them the tires. And after giving them the tire, the guy gave them the tire and just grumbled. I said, you see, that's how God does it now. He'll be sending him to give other people things. When he needs things, God doesn't remember him. And then he said, the guy will deliver the goods and go away grumbling. That this is absolutely unfair. That if he was the one, now God won't send anybody to him. That look at him now. These people need tire. God has sent them tire, and he's the one he sent. Can you imagine? They said this guy was renowned for grumbling. That is, everybody knew him. He always obeyed God, but he always grumbled. Get my point? He always obeyed God willingly. You understand my point? But he always grumbled about what God is not doing in his life. And that guy made this. I read this book more than 12 years ago. What am I saying 12 years ago? I'm sure I read it like 18 years ago. He made a statement which I didn't fully understand then, but now that I'm telling you, and I just remembered that story. He said, if only this guy would just be a bit more cheerful, then God would be able to do things for him. The guy, look, listen, God will send him maybe $1,000, and as he's receiving it, God will say, take $700, do this and do this, and he will obey completely. Then you start grumbling over the balance $300. Like, God, you think this will be enough for me to eat? Okay, just watch now. He will grumble, what am I saying? You can imagine how his bank is swelling in heaven. Because he did all those things cheerfully. He's not grumbling about doing it. He's grumbling about the fact that God doesn't remember him. So now I'm trying to bring a picture for you here. Imagine how much God wants to bless this fellow. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, a lot of times when God wants to bless people, they are not willing. They are not willing. You know, there's something I always say jokingly to women. I said that when you want to pray, it's good. Pray for a very handsome man who is very, very well made. You know, he's padded, like my pastor would say, everywhere. Very nice guy. He has a very nice car and all that. It's a good prayer point. No, really. I think all women should pray that kind of prayer. But God always sends things in life as a seed. When the guy comes, he's likely to look like this guy behind you. You see who'd work there. He won't have a car. What is he? Bloody medical student. He will look like, God, this guy is not fine. God say, wait. Just wait. Just watch me. Just be patient. I will soon pad him up. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hey, Kingsley, why are you rubbing your eyes? Okay, you know, there's an Igbo proverb that when your person is dancing bad dance, your brow starts itching. What the hell, the guy is rubbing his brow? Are you feeling guilty as charged also? No, it's true. The Bible said it does not yet appear what you shall be like, Slayo. Yes. But when God shall come, we shall see you as you really are. Amen? All right. No, it's true. Young women should learn that thing. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. You understand? Do you know, when I look back now, sometimes I say, God is very good. No, God is really very good. I remember, no, me, I'll not give you this. Let's. Let me not give you this. Let me do my matter for today. Is that okay? No, really, that's how God does things. Are you getting me? He normally sends things in as a seed. That's what I'm actually teaching about. So you have to understand that the Bible says, he that observes the clouds is not the man that wants to sow alone, that needs not to observe the winds. When the time for your harvest comes, you also have to realize that you must not watch the surrounding circumstances. Are you getting my point? There are many people that God wants to bless, but God wants to send them to a particular place to receive their blessing. But they have said, can anything good come out of that place? You know, my wife and Richard, they were baking cake this afternoon, and my son, as I can look, sat down there and was watching. So I made a joke. I said, oh, you want to be a chef? You know, and I thought to myself, I said, an average person wouldn't think that's a good dream for a child. You understand? But I told myself, I said, why not? Oh, but if you want to be a chef, believe me, as a prosperous father that God has given you, I shall yet manifest, all right? By the time you are ready to start chefing for people, I will build you the biggest restaurant around. And you will become a household name. All you need to do is just watch what happens in some of these advanced countries. And you will see there are chefs that are literally millionaires from just cooking. They are like consultant cooks. You understand my point? There was one man I watched a documentary on him some time ago. I've forgotten his name. I didn't bother to memorize his name. This guy was just good. He was reputed for turning any restaurant around within like a year or two. They will show you the food that this guy... Look, anyway, that's just by the way. I'm trying to explain something. There are people that God probably says, you will be a star chef, and from there, just watch it. The best hotel in Nigeria will soon be yours. Not like you work there, but to be your own. But this is where we'll start from. But the guy will look at you like, as you see me, so do I look like a cook? Do you get my principle here? Therefore, God keeps now abundance of blessing up there. This guy is faithful. Treasure in heaven, his vault is literally bursting wide. But the channel of bringing it down to the earth, the guy has despised it. Are you getting my point? Now, so bear that in mind. He that watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. Now, there was something I mentioned as I was speaking just now. I said that God usually gives things as a seed. Now, that's what I want to emphasize. Now, a man has treasure in heaven. Treasure must come out on the earth. But God said, the man has to sow. Now, see, remember we said something earlier, both now and in our previous teachings, that treasure in heaven and many other things are actually spiritual forces that energize the happenings on the earth. Remember the word blessing. If you read that book, The Blessing, you will see what I'm talking about there. A blessing is an empowerment to succeed. It's a spiritual force. Are you getting my point? It's not just a cheap word. It's not just a simple word like God bless you. No, it's an empowerment to do things right. What am I saying? If a man has treasure in heaven, you say the man is blessed. Are you getting my point? Now, that blessing doesn't rain naira for him. It doesn't rain currency from heaven. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. That's a rule. Any money not issued by the Central Bank of Nigeria It's counterfeit. Even if God sent it, it's counterfeit naira that God has given you. What am I saying? What God does is to channel it. That's why you hear me quote all the time that he said, I cause prosperity to flow towards you. It's already somewhere. It's where it is flowing to. That's the issue. The movement of cash is spiritually directed. And that's a fact. The movement of money is directed spiritually. What causes money to flow in your direction is what we call treasure in heaven. However, there is something that goes on in your hands at each point in time to attract that flow. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Now, so that's what God is saying. He said, there is seed that is spiritual, but there is seed that is physical that attracts the blessing being released by the spiritual seed that you have sown. You can have abundant harvest in heaven. Something was converted to physical form. Are you getting my point? And I said, when God wants to do things, he starts it as a seed. Remember the parable of the mustard seed? Are you getting me? That Jesus said that when it is planted, it's very small. But when it has grown, we discuss those things under spiritual economics, it becomes the biggest of trees, and many birds of the air will come and hide inside it. And I remember that we took the story of Nebuchadnezzar's dream from the mouth of Daniel to explain that when Nebuchadnezzar dreamt about himself, he saw a big tree that the birds of the air were nesting in his shade. And that's what Jesus was referring to. That is what will become a great multinational company will start as a seed. That's what I'm talking about. But he said, men have to learn to plant that seed at the appropriate time. That's what I'm talking about, physical seed. That There are three things in the morning that God gives you. We said there is seed, there is bread. But amongst seed too, that's why I come, there are three. You understand? There are two amongst seed. So there is spiritual seed and there is physical seed. Now, that is what I want to emphasize. I told you a story the other time about T.D. Jakes. Are you getting me? That God, he said, something in him rose up and said, invest in yourself. And the man put money inside his own product. Now, there's something I'm trying to say here. That you see, God has given everybody, just like he gave them seed for the sower. You understand? I said there is a portion of that seed that is physical. That means God expects you to sow a seed in the direction of the thing that you are, how do I use the word? You are skilled to do. Let me give you a very practical example. Maybe you are very good. Now, this is just to illustrate what I'm trying to say. You are very good at photographing, but you're a student and you don't have money. You have very little. But God says, this young woman has treasure in heaven. Are you getting my point? Now, so you obey that principle. Seed for the sower, spiritual seed. You know, the next thing God is saying, oh, you're a young man, you left school. You are begging for a job, nobody's giving you. But one thing you know for sure is when it comes to photography, videos, and stuff like that, you are just too good. And your passion is there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, most people know what they say. Huh? And I'll tell you a real story about this. Those instruments are very expensive. You know what God is saying, all right? You know what God will do? He will send you 1,000 naira. Knowing fully well that you can hire a small camera for 200 naira for a day. Are you getting my point? You know what he's waiting for? Go and hire a camera for 200 bucks for one day. Listen to me. If you do that, you will make the 200 naira back and more on top. And then you take that one, hire it for 3 days next time. So you can make more money. Then God guides you until you have enough money to buy the camera. There was a brother once, he came to me, he wanted to ask for advice. He said that, it's very funny. Sly was already smiling, I guess he knows the story. The guy had no money, he was very, very broke. Like they say in House on the Rock, he was broke, busted, and disgusted. And he had asked advice from one guy, and the guy told him that, look, we know you. You are good with the video camera. Every time you come to me begging for money, yes, I'm an influential person. I can get you jobs anytime. Weddings happen all the time. Funerals happen. I can get you jobs. I will link you to people. They will give you a job to cover their weddings, their funerals, anything they are doing. But you don't have camera, fine. You know how much they hire camera. Now you will get that job and hire the camera and two other men to do it for you at less than a at less than one third of what they will pay you for the job. So let's do that. The guy came to me and said, it was from his mouth I heard this. I wasn't there when they were telling him. He said, this guy was telling me to do this. But you see, God has not yet spoken to me to start that kind of business. I looked at his head. I wish I was not as nice, or is it deceptive as I am? That when I'm by deceptive, sometimes I won't tell you the truth about yourself. Sometimes so you were telling me that, you see, as you see me, so this is how I am, and I know you are lying. But I won't tell you that I think you are fooling yourself. I'll just be nod my head. It's one bad trait I have. I have friends who, as soon as you say, they will tell you the truth. Hey, come on, keep quiet, you are lying. But me, I'll just be nodding my head. Is that so? Now, wow. Then I'll turn and tell my wife, see, that guy, he's fooling himself. Then I'll face you and say, now, I don't think it's a good trait. I will try and change. Amen. If I wasn't like that day, I forgive him. That does God speak to you when you go and tell that guy, please, I am broke. Can you give me money? No, have you ever prayed? And God said, my son, that I shall go to meet those three people to tell them about your needs, then they shall give you money. Has it ever happened? But God needs to speak to a man who has a wife, who has kids, responsibilities to do something. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, what God uses to bless a man starts as a seed like that. It's always small. Now, remember that story when Jesus wanted to multiply food for the multitude. He said, let us give these people food to eat. And his disciples said, we don't have anything. But there's one boy here that's ready to give an offering of his lunch. But what is that among so many? I was sharing with a brother a few days ago. I said, listen, that is the way life is. That it is wrong for you as a pastor to get up and say, the reason why we are not doing anything here is because you people are not giving money. You will never see me do it, ever. Oh God, please make sure I don't forget that I said it. I will never do it. Because the principle is what Jesus explained. That once you have little, it is your... Do you know that the disciples didn't agree with him? You know, I keep on telling that Jesus never joined hands with the disciples. Said, now, let us pray. And no, he never did that. Peter, James, and John, they didn't agree with him that this food shall be multiplied. What I mean, he didn't discuss it with them. He just said, have the people sit down. Then they sat down. Then he took the bread. He alone gave thanks. He alone broke the bread. It was after breaking it, they started dishing that to the disciples. Those ones were so busy collecting the food to share to other people, they didn't remember to wonder where it's coming from. Are you getting my point? That is, as the Baba in charge, you understand my point? The senior fellow there, it was his responsibility to take the little that they had and multiply it if necessary. Now, there's a reason why I told that story. What is this among so many? The Bible said that God can save with a multitude, he can save with a few. It doesn't affect him in any form. You know what that means? It means that if God says that, I want you, now let's say business now, for example. They say, well, which business? This particular kind of business. They say, that to do it, it costs up to 100 million naira. And you know what I have? 10,000 naira. God said, whether it's 100 million or 10,000, if I want it done in your life, I will do it. That's why I said earlier that if you are not expecting God to do anything for you, he can't. Because the man who God gave one little talent that went to bury it, it was because he was not expecting God to do anything with that one. You can imagine how many talents have been buried. We said this thing is kind of abstract. There are people who go up and down every day. They have written applications. You know, the cost of the paper of writing the application, they used to write the application. If they had used that money to start a business that God wants to bless, by that time they will be employing people. What is this among so many? That's what they keep saying. Now, what remember I'm talking about financial management. You must bear this thing in mind. You don't just eat money that's given to you. Now, remember that you apply this thing as it applies to your own situation. You understand what I'm trying to say? That a man, look, your dream is, one day. In fact, there was somebody told me once, just to explain. He said, there's one guy who wants to be a big player in a particular company, a big player. but he doesn't have money. So he committed a part, but he's well paid. You know, he's a very well paid person. Maybe he works one of these big multinationals or one big bank or an oil company, something like that. He's well paid. The guy committed a particular proportion of his income to buy shares in that company every month. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Let me explain what I'm trying to say. Let's assume now the guy wants to, he wants his voice heard in maybe Guaranteed Trust Bank. You understand my point? And then you see, there's nothing like life is not, this thing is not fair. You cannot expect a man that have 1 million shares to be given the same amount of votes as the one that have 5,000. What rubbish is that? This is business, for goodness sake. This is not church. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's church where all men are equal. When you get to the business world, you are weighed according to the proportion of cash that came with you for the business meeting. You understand what I'm trying to say? Now, so the guy weighed that, like, listen, this is what I'm going to do. He's well paid. So it took maybe like 20% of his income. That every month I buy shares in that bank. That money is dedicated. The guy knows it will take him years, but he does it. Look, when they give bonus shares, his shares will increase. But he keeps on increasing. His own is that one day, I will have, even if it's 0.2%, then one will go for shareholders meeting. When I want to stalk, they will know that one guy there is talking. To him, that is his plan. Then he can start influencing decisions in the bank. There's a particular, I'm just using that bank as an example. What am I saying? What is this among so many? The guy said, no, plant your seed. Are you getting my point? He's planting the seed bit by bit. Let me tell you something about money. One of the problems I had for a long time was that I wasn't well, but that means I didn't have the understanding that I have now. So then those people will say that, buy shares. I say, why? Say, you never know tomorrow. You know, once you tell me that, you've ended it. Because God will slap me like this if I tell him that I never know tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? He said, you don't know where the country is going. I like one thing, the Sounds of Blackness, one song they sang. They said, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I love that song. All I remember about it is that line. I don't know what the future holds. So listen, I told you that, let me say, the Bible says that God listens when you are discussing. You know, two of you, you close the door, close the windows, you and your friend, you stay in one corner of the room. So let me just tell you the truth. Other one, Pastor Banky, say, me, I don't know. No, I'm telling you, let me tell you. You know Fred, yes. Fred, that's how he was offering illegals a very long time until he got a visa. Last week, he sent $1,000 to his father. I'm telling you. You close the door very well. Say, don't tell him I told you this, though, because listen, a man will just take charge of his life. I'm telling you what I'm saying. In the corner of the room, Bible says that, and the Lord heard. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And the Lord heard. So I tell people that, listen, I don't take such counsel. Because the Lord will hear. The Lord will do what? He will hear. He said, the reason why you are laying by, one day this boy has to go to university. And that time, university may be expensive. You never can tell. So right now, we start laying up treasure on earth so that a child can go to university. I said, if I were God, I said, Banky, bring that to your head. Come, I must give you a depressed core fracture that will never rise again so that people will know that one day you offended me. So I tell you, look, I don't have that kind of mentality. You know, I told the story of the man, insurance man, who harassed me for long, that I should be paying 500 naira out of my 6,000 naira salary in a month. No, are you getting my point? I said, why? I said, you see me, I'm not going to die. Just forget that one. It's life insurance. He said, no, even if you don't die, after 25 years, we'll give you 100,000 naira. I said, yeah. If God hears that I put my money in. Are you getting my point? In 25 years, I will be using 100,000 naira to entertain guests, and this is not a birthday party. No, I'm telling you. It will be like some old friends of Kingdom World that used to meet with you in the top of that building those days. They came around, and I was like, serve breakfast, please, I'm coming. And the cost of the breakfast will be 100,000 naira. You never heard of that before? You never heard of killing the fatted calf? You didn't read your Bible. And guests will arrive, and they'll say, kill the fatted calf. But that time, I'll be killing fatted calves for for people. I said, listen, that's my faith. That was a mistake he made. You want people like me to invest. You don't give me such premises for investment. It was after with this spiritual economics that I understood that God said, if you want an economy to improve,
You understand?
You have to plant into it. That was when I started putting my money into the stock market. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That was, if you remember, we did that just before Soludo made it, just around the time Soludo made his announcement. And I'm so happy the banks did it. I said, these banks don't have to close. Let them go into the market and tell people, give us your money. And I'm so happy they did things like that. I remember that the Kingston, I told you, if you can raise some money, please, go and buy shares somewhere. It is not because of you. You see, it's a sign of my faith. It's a sign of my faith. I told my wife then, okay, this business you are doing, just take this amount of money regularly, put in this particular mutual fund. It is not like I'm afraid of tomorrow. No, 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 no. I came to understand that economies don't move if there's no money inside them. Are you getting my point? That I have seed for the sower, so it is my responsibility to plant into the economy. Since, look, I don't like to do business. I believe that it therefore is my, look, the economy, I have to put into it. Therefore, if you give me money, I will put some of it into the market. It's, let the money be working. That is what moves economies, that money is there. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, when you won't start big, it starts small, but you must have the correct mentality. You know, one of the worst things that happen to young people, and let me tell all of you who are just graduating, who are about to graduate, who have just left school, who are about to start earning money, the worst thing you will do, if I see you and you tell me, Pastor, I bought a car, come and dedicate it, I will refuse, I promise you. I will refuse, except you can show me that, no. That I look at you, I know, maybe like you went home, your father is so happy with you, he gave you a car. I will bless it for you. You get my point? But I look at your income, and you took 6 months hard end pay to buy a car, I will not dedicate it for you. You are a bloody idiot. What is a 26-year-old boy looking for a world worker? A girl that wouldn't marry you while you are right, while you are jumping Okada. May she never marry you even if you buy a private jet. You won't prosper with her. I'm telling you, she can never bless your life. They have no seed in the ground. Whether spiritually new or physically, they want to be driving motor car. Goat. Moron. Because the guy is really a goat. Who are you trying to impress? Who? May thieves steal it so as to teach you a lesson. No, I'm telling you the truth. It's a serious prayer I'm praying for you. May they not shoot you when they are stealing it. That is true. What are you doing with motor car? It is not as if a car is not important. But there are too many more important things around you that you always say, now I'm earning money. Every money, every month they pay you. You are paying the car man instrumentally. You are paying the car man instrumentally. No, there are things I don't do. No, God help me with that thing. From time? No. There is no... wait. Wife, has anybody bought car for us and we paid him instrumentally? No, it doesn't happen. No, ask my wife. Has it ever happened that we bought cars instrumentally? I don't want to tell you the number of cars I have paid for. Instrument, like ye. No, he said, okay, it's 50,000 this month. Next month, I will bring another 25. On a lorry moto? No, I don't go to them. Look, if I lived in America, it's not this one that they're doing. I'll tell you the truth. I would do like Mike Mudock. I would never buy a brand new car. Mike Mudock, he said he doesn't have time for brand new cars. Oh, okay. At least now, the man flies the jet, so you know that it's not poverty. He said he has realized that I think they're overpriced. So he waits for you to use it for 1 year and buy it for half the price. And he'll be feeling cool with himself. Pay you cash, not owing anybody. The one we drive with pride, they are 10 years, 15 years old. You understand my point? So I just wait for 2 years. Chuks told me a story about one German surgeon that he worked with somewhere in the north. That the lady said she had never driven a new car. She said she just wants to use it for 1 year and buy it half the price. Now, my issue now, of course, you understand, is not the newness of the car. That's not my issue. You understand what I'm trying to say? Is the fact that somebody say you start paying instrumentally. I said, now, listen, let me explain this very well. You have to understand I'm explaining the matter of priorities. You can follow what I'm going to say. I'm explaining the matter of priorities. I'm saying a young man that just left school. He has not done anything, both spiritually and physically, as seed. He wants to drive car. Read Robert Kiyosaki's Rich Dad Poor Dad. It's a good book. The man said it's a liability, it is not an asset. Do you understand what I'm going to say? He can't sleep well. When he parks, you know, all kinds of security gadgets on the car. You know, one guy in my church, Pastor, I preached a message on Wednesday, and I was happy with one statement he made. He said, anything that I cannot lose, eh? That is, if I lose it, I will lose sleep. He said, I won't buy it. I said, it's true. No, that's true. He said, he was talking about phones. He said, I can't buy, he said, there's a kind of phone I like, just like me. He said, but if I lose it, I will lose sleep. He said, then I shouldn't buy it. He said, any hand said that I will lose and lose sleep, then I shouldn't buy it. A lot of people, they live years, let me say, years before they have reached a particular level. They have started living like that. I've had people direct themselves in business because these people are doing well financially. You understand my point? But they are spending money as if they are Aliko Dangote. Do you get my point? Your company has a turnover of maybe 100 million. I said turnover, 100 million a year, and you are driving a brand new E-Class. You know you are a thief. You are cheating yourself. You are stealing from yourself. Because on a turnover of 100 million naira, what's your profit? And you are buying a car for 10 million naira. No, you see, you know I love big cars. You know, it's like, you know, say, if I have money, I will buy. You get my point. But if you are a businessman, don't use that money to, you know, you are living be earlier than your times. Those who buy cars for 25 million naira don't turn over 100 million, turnover, I'm not saying profit. They don't turn over 100 million naira in a year. They probably do it in a month. So if thief carries that one, they'll just go to the next shop, collect another one, and keep going. Look, thieves have spiritual work that they do. I'm telling you. No, they teach Christians lessons sometimes. When you are living in a place that you have not yet reached, God will use that man to bring you down. Billy Akone told the story. He said one day, he was praying, God, do not forget me. And one woman came and said, God said I should give you this car. He said he looked at the car. Something inside his heart, he didn't agree. So he told the woman, sorry, I really cannot take the car. So the woman went and gave another pastor and said, God said I should give you the car. And that pastor collected the car, a B2, many, many years ago. Billy Akone said he was going around with his broom, Okada, still preaching the gospel. The other pastor collected the car. God is a good God. He was feeling very spiritual and blessed. Then the woman's husband came back and said, where's my car? He said, God said I should give it out. He said, you are very, very crazy. Now give me my car back. He went to the pastor and said, Pastor, don't mind my wife. I don't know the fleet of spirituality that entered her head. Give me my car. So he collected the car and went away. What am I telling the story? Billy Akone said, the brother went back to trek him. He said, at least he remained on his Okada. You see all those thief boys, 419 boys. That's what happens to them. They go and steal money. You know, when you steal, the wisdom to spend is taken from you. So the guy will just buy a big car. And then when they collect the car from him, he's back to trekking. What I'm explaining is that you shouldn't be going to and fro like the devil. You know, drive car today, tomorrow, no motor again. Go step by step. Are you getting what I'm saying? Be built up. There's a difference between jumping up and being built up. Like they say, everything that goes up, when you jump down, that must come down. Everything that is built up, it remains there. Are you getting my principle? You know, I've really digressed from what I've tried to explain, but I hope you are learning something, Sha. All right. Okay, so what I'm explaining is that there is physical seed, and men must remember that they are meant to multiply money for God, and that's what I'm going to talk about. It's not like you don't know about tomorrow. No, it's about my responsibilities. The problem, in fact, I was sharing with my wife recently, you know, I've had a lot of quarrels in my heart, disagreements with messages that people preach. In fact, Ubon came to me the other day and said, good afternoon, sir. I said, good afternoon. He said, I just want to ask you a question. I said, go ahead. That message that man preached, you don't agree, do you? I said, I most certainly don't. He said, I knew you didn't agree. I just wanted to be sure. And then he left. Yes, no, there's a reason. Somebody preached somewhere. Both of us were there. And when the man was preaching, I just flipped to my scripture. I have two verses to knock out everything he said, that is not in line with the word of God. So he was also sitting down there and worried that I hope that man is not agreeing by mistake in front there. So he came next day, a few days later, to come and confirm that I really disagreed. And I said, look, I will never disappoint you. I really disagreed. Now, why did I disagree? That's what I'm talking about. I told my wife, look, the main problem that, you know, because God just helped me to understand, because I've had a lot of quarrels with some of the messages I hear. And this is the issue. The messages are too self-centered, and they are not Christ and responsibility-centered. Are you getting my point? Let me say what I say. Now, we're talking about money now. I went somewhere to, there's another place I went to preach. And the man of God was preaching. The message was very, very interesting. We laughed and laughed and laughed. Then when we finished, I told my friend that we went together. You know, all the things he said is wrong. I said, yeah, he said, yes, I know. We were just laughing. I said, good, let's just be sure that we both agree that the man was just joking. It was just a joke. Because all the message on what you can get, what am I talking about? Bring an offering now. Then tomorrow you will have a car. That is, it is you. What you will get, that is the issue. Are you getting my point? No, that is the way we preach a lot of times, and it is not right. We make people do things. Now, listen. It is Christ. Now, you have to understand what I say. Messages are meant to be what? Christ-centered. People say, no. If you give, you must expect to receive something. That says it's not true. Jesus said it categorically, give, expecting nothing in return. He didn't say you will not get anything. He said, expect what? Nothing. That is, there is a responsibility that is laid upon you to do the work of Christ. Messages must be Christ-centered. That's what I'm coming to. Now, we're talking about money. Remember, you handle money as a matter of responsibility. And I'm telling you that it is your responsibility to invest in an economy. It is your responsibility. You know, let me tell you something about pleasing God. If you do things like that and tomorrow they say stock market crashes, it doesn't pain you. Say, God, there goes your money. It doesn't concern me. You know, I am still going to eat. In fact, there's one scripture you use to conclude it. The young lions may love our hunger, but those that seek the Lord will never lack anything good. Stock market or no stock market, you keep on trucking. Listen, with this attitude, that's when God starts giving you wisdom. He starts telling you, put money here, don't put it there. Do it like this. You start seeing what other people don't see. What blinds the eyes of men is self-centeredness. When they are Christ-centered, God begins to give them vision. Are you getting what I'm saying? They begin to see what other people don't see. When they handle life as a matter of responsibility, they begin to see what other men don't see. That's what I'm trying to explain. Remember I said seed for the sower. We've talked about spiritual seed. I'm talking about physical seed. We have to learn it. It is not, look, it's not a matter of what do I get from this? You will get something. You see, one thing about God is that he does not ever owe anybody. If what we are doing is deserving of reward, he will reward you. Are you getting my point? But please, he doesn't like people who feel like they are smart. They want to use God. You know what you and someone say? Remember what I was saying earlier, Kingsley? That the Bible says that the weapons of our welfare are mighty through God. You understand my point? We are not using God. It's God's power that we are using. What I'm trying to say is this. If what we are doing is not pleasing to God, it will not work. God looks at your work before he blesses it. And if God says your work is pleasing to him and he decides to bless it, he will bless it. I hope you are getting my point. You can't come to God and demand that I have given right now, you shall multiply back to me. Something is definitely wrong with you. Life is a matter of responsibility. You handle it properly, God will bless you. Handle it properly, God will most certainly bless you. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. I said one of the things that we do actually, one of the things we send our radio broadcast, some of our radio previous ones, is that all we do is actually to cooperate with what God wants to do. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If God wants to, listen, there was something, one message that came to my head recently. You know, I titled it what? Why God Tolerates Nonsense. You hear what I said? I said, why does God tolerate nonsense? You want to know why? When he has nothing better, he will manage rubbish. No, it's a fact too. If every market woman and market man, every trader in the market is a crook, you know God won't judge them. Do you know why? Because he doesn't expect me to now start going to Onitsha to go and buy Gary because he wants Nenugu are crooks and he wants to kill all of them. He will leave them. In their crookedness, here I'll still get Gary to buy. You're not following what I'm saying? If all the filling stations in town have rigged their gauges, God won't close them down. Why? With a rigged gauge, I still have to buy four. He said, if I close all of them down, where will these people buy fuel from? So God will tolerate the rubbish for some time. There's a reason why I'm saying this. A lot of the nonsense you see in town, whether it's business, whether it's anything, the reason why God has not judged it is because there's no choice, there's no option. And what I'm doing is to explain to you that when you go with God's mentality to those places, then God will now close people down. Are you getting what I'm saying? He brings down one so that he can lift up another. When God has nobody to lift, he doesn't bring anybody down. Do you follow what I'm going to say? There are times I look. You know, Tunde Bakare said something once. After criticizing, you know Tunde Bakare now. He don't abuse everybody. You know, sometimes he go abuse people, so then he go mention your name. He will just mention name. You understand what I'm trying to say? No. Why am I telling this story? Now, he made a statement once. That's an honest story. Somebody said, okay, all the churches you are criticizing, maybe they should close. He said, no. They shouldn't close. He said, bad church is better than no church. That's why I'm telling this story. After everything, then the man said, no. The churches should remain open. They should try, but whether they try, they don't try, they should remain open. That bad church is better than no church. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. And that's the way God handles life, really. But I'm going to explain this to you. That if you do things well, then God will close up the bad things so that you can be lifted. Are you getting what I'm going to say? That is what I want you to understand. If you enter the stock market with the right mentality, everybody else should get ready. They should get ready to pack. Oh, Kinsley, remember what we discussed today now? Or was it that message? God's procedure for your promotion is going to come on air over the next, not this Monday, the following Monday. It will run for about 4 weeks. You should listen to them. I mean, you won't hear it from here. It was just three of us. Okay, Olisemeka, me, Kingsley, DG, and Olisemeka were the only ones that heard the message. It was very good. I think you guys should tune in for it. It will come in about 3 weeks' time on Cosmo FM. Okay. Now, so I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. This is important, please. I think, let me try and close. I think I have spoken at length. Please, I hope you are following what I've said so far. That is, it is right. Just like I said, nobody is so poor that they cannot buy treasure in heaven. I also believe the same principle applies. That when the time is ripe, remember to buy what? Treasure on the earth. Sow on the earth also. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You must sow on this earth. If you are doing, let me just give another example. If you are working and you don't buy books for your work periodically to enlighten you what you are doing, you are not likely to go very far. Part of sowing, all right, physically, is to buy books to tune up your brain. Are you getting my point? You know, a lot of people don't develop themselves at all. These are issues about sowing. That is, if God gives you money, a portion of the food is meant to physically train you up. If you are a cook, don't just feel like, I have cooked so well, there's nothing better than this around. The books are always coming out. Most of them will be a waste of your money. Buy them anyway. A few of them will be worth the money. Do you get my point? They said one great man, I've forgotten his name, an industrialist. He said, I know that half of the money I spend on advertising is a waste. He said, but I don't know which half. You understand? He said, I don't know which half. So I have to spend the whole thing, lest I don't do any at all. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm explaining this. For example, you're a doctor. You should buy a book. You should buy journals. You should. In fact, this is just another thing for everybody. The other day, I was telling my wife that from now, I'll buy her Financial Standard every week. So you must read the whole thing cover to cover. At the end of the week, probably set test on what happened last week. No, really, if you are going to be a rich person, you understand, you should know what is happening to money in your nation. What is wrong with you? You should know. Are you getting my point? There's one thing I like about DG. You know, in the latest developments in communication engineering, he knows, you know, even me, I know it. You know, when I go and I'm telling people, things. I said, this is time division multiple access and code division multiple access. They are wondering where I learned it from. I read it from packet. I discussed with DG, and then he has these journals. Anyway, there's all kinds of journals. No, you should be updated regularly. I don't have time to go into all that, but let me get a word they say is enough for the wise. Are you getting my point? If you're a musician, don't think that, you see, I only sing by inspiration. Listen to me. Even when Bob Marley sings, it takes time to listen to that beat, whether your beat is as good as his own. If it is not as good, then it takes time to copy that one, practice this more. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? No, I'm telling you the truth. Don't say, no, you know. All you sing is, I just want to be where you are. I was like, we won't buy it. Let me assure you. We will not buy it. You get my point? Listen, Bishop Oyedepo used to say, good things are good. No, if you label it Christian, if it is bad, I won't buy it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Do you understand what I'm saying? It is part of spending money. You must. If I was telling my students the other day, and this is a fact, that there are certain books, you know, physiology. I don't teach physiology. I teach pathology. I said, but I have to. Physiology changes all the time. So I want to get a current edition of Guyton. Let that keep me on top for a few years before I buy another one. I should read. I should know what is going on outside. Otherwise, you'll be a state lecturer. Are you getting my point? And any money I spend like that, it is seed on this earth. It is improving my quality. It's making me, let me use this word, more marketable. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Don't just acquire degrees for acquiring degrees. No. Acquire degrees in the process of learning something. The certificate just will certify that you have learned it. I hope you understand that point. Let me close now because our time is really gone. We'll continue.